You are listening to the Chosen Family segment on WGXC Acre Catskill Hudson 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears. I'm Mike Amari, and this show, Local Waves, is on every week, every Friday night, as well as little spots throughout the week. And it's all new local music from the Hudson Valley. And this segment, once a month, I sit down with local musicians, local record label, everything like that. And I'm excited today because I have Ben Saraton, who is someone who wears many hats in the local music scene, but chief among them, a great musician, and is putting out a lot of great music right now. So Ben, thank you for coming on this month.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thanks for the intro. It's great to be here.
I guess let's start with the music.
Sure.
Because I do want to kind of get into some of the other stuff too. But I'll start by saying that you released a record last year called Allora.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the hand. Yes, proper.
Which, if anyone spent any time in Italy, Allora is like an essential word.
A building block of conversation there.
So I love that as a record name. And it's a great record. And it's more of a like rock record, I would say, guitar-based rock record. And then more recently, you've released two records. One is sort of this music that you make on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. that you send out via your mailing list, newsletter sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that some of that's been compiled and released. And then even more recently is Youth Pastoral, which is a record that was made in 2020.
Yeah, we put it out originally in 2020, and it's been out of print since then.
Yeah.
So we reissued it and did new packaging for it and put on some bonus tracks and stuff like that.
Tiny Engines, great record label who's reissuing that. So this is all just to say, like, this is just in the last, like, I don't know, what, 6 months, 8 months that you've released?
Yeah, actually, come to think of it.
These three things.
Mm-hmm.
They're all great. They're all different. You've made music that's more ambient leaning, more rock leaning. Youth Pastoral is kind of perfectly in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my first question is, where do you find like the energy, the motivation, the sort of like, it seems like you have almost like a daily practice of like making music.
Yeah, I really respond well to things that are regimented and regular. And, every Thursday, pretty much without fail, I send out some version of writing and new music with my newsletter, which just kind of keeps me punching the clock, keeps me doing the reps. And that's kind of where I respond creatively. I need things to be happening frequently enough for me to catch the vibes when they come.
Right. So you're kind of like fishing in the river every day,
yeah.
getting some little things, but in the attempt that every now and then you're going to get something big.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to do it, I think, as someone who like kind of waits for something big to even pick up the guitar or whatever.
Yeah, well, I find that if you're sitting down to play an instrument or make something as often as you can, then you actually have more ideas generated when you're not in your practice too.
Yeah,
it just kind of keeps the, at least for me, it keeps me stimulated in the way that I need to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also working through some like COVID backlogs here too, because the new record I put out last summer, we actually recorded it in the summer of 2019, mm-hmm. and it just took a really long time to find a home and to find a world that felt receptive to something that was about being all together and like sweating into the same room.
Well, there's something, I mean, it's sort of the opposite of like the daily practice thing, where it's like sometimes you have to wait a few years for the right moment,
mm-hmm.
for something to come out, or for something that you made without any context years ago to suddenly make sense in your life, or,
yeah.
you know, or with the people you made the music with, you know, the way things come together. So that's interesting too, is you're making all the stuff and you are kind of like putting a lot of stuff out, but then it's also like very, measured too, in terms of like, okay, this is this thing I made a couple years ago. Now feels like the right moment,
yeah.
the right, all the pieces have come together. It's kind of like, you don't want to wait for that thing to come out years later. So you keep making stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess do you struggle with like what to put out, what to put on a record? What doesn't go on a record?
Editing is a challenge for me.
Yeah.
I get around that by being really productive. So I avoid having to make those kind of curatorial decisions. But Yeah, the music has a way of telling you what it wants to be, I feel like. Like, I don't think there are decisions. I don't feel like I'm making decisions. Mm-hmm. I feel like the thing kind of comes out and it's there and it lets me know how it wants to be.
Yeah.
But I think there's also just, I've always been interested in the confusion of the different ways of distributing music and releasing mm-hmm. things, because it used to be that, like, yeah, you had to get things on a physical record that went into record stores, and that was the only way you could broadcast music over the airwaves too, obviously. But mm-hmm. if a consumer wanted to encounter your music on their own time, the they would have to get a physical copy. And now with all of these digital dissemination means, we can do really whatever we want. And, you know, Bandcamp has really revolutionized mm-hmm. The act of just putting something online for people to hear. So I've always been interested. I've been a longtime Bandcamp user. I think I started using it in 2009. Yeah. And I've always just gotten a thrill on the fact that you could put something out there and then it runs away from you and has its own life.
Yeah.
So there's,
yeah, there's sort of an online community there that will uplift things and share things, and not exactly a social media component, but something along those lines.
Yeah. Just the fact
way there's an algorithm that recommends stuff to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm interested in putting something into the world that somebody then has a chance to encounter with in the future.
Yeah. So this show that I'm doing for GXC Local Waves in a very small way is like that thing where I just feel for local musicians, local record labels, et cetera, who have to kind of throw stuff into the void all the time now.
Yeah.
And there is one of my favorite things in the world is like randomly discovering music, which radio is a great format for.
Yeah, WGXC in particular.
Yeah, GXC yeah. is great. I mean, you know, but sometimes it's like you're shopping in the grocery store and there's a song that from the 80s that you never really heard before, yeah. you know. So I love, like, you need those chance encounters. And so, you know, I love like giving this sort of outlet to new local music and people releasing music to like have, and it's not an algorithm, which again is preferable to me, like no algorithm, just yeah. like random shuffle, random, you know, there's curation involved, but it's like shuffle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and you know, every time you hear something new that you haven't heard before that really gets you going, it really kind of recharges your hopes battery.
Yeah.
It makes the world like a more beautiful place for the length of that song.
Yeah.
Because I want to live in a world where it's possible that, yeah, CVS is going to play like something that I've never heard before that goes into my favorites playlist. Like, that's a beautiful world.
Has not happened for me yet, but as someone who worked at CVS for many years,
oh, nice.
it was not a good playlist.
Yeah.
Maybe it's gotten better. I do want to mention, if you're listening to this and you're interested in Ben's weekly mailing list music release, it's called My Big Break. And if you just, you know, search Ben Sarotin, you'll find it. I actually just signed up this morning.
I saw that.
And I was thinking, like, this is something where we kind of take our friends for granted a little bit. And I was like, oh, how have I not signed up for this mailing list? It's because I see you all the time. I kind of come across your music, you know, yeah. I see your stuff on Instagram and stuff. And I'm like, no, I need to do this. So this is like a reminder to, you know, actually engage with your friend's stuff and not take it for granted. I did want to touch on, since this show and this segment's really about like the Hudson Valley music scene, mm-hmm. Which you've embedded into very quickly, but I think you kind of came through New York City and Troy, Albany area. Mm-hmm. And then when did you land in, like, you know, the Hudson Valley?
We moved here in April of 2023, so almost exactly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had been... I played a show at Hilo, I think, in 2018, and really loved the energy and vibed with Liam specifically. And so I was aware of what they were doing, and I had been hearing of Avalon Lodge for years until I moved up here. And I had started playing there and doing sound there, like, even before we moved to the area. Mm-hmm. I was driving like 40 minutes to do sound here because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, what's it been like sort of coming into this area, starting to play shows, starting to meet the other, you know, musicians that maybe you didn't already know? Because, I mean, Troy is very adjacent, but it is its own little scene, and this
yeah.
little scene down here.
Yeah, and they're doing amazing things in Troy, too.
Yeah.
I refused to accept at first that they were separate scenes when I first moved down here, I really thought there'd be more cross-pollination, but just psychologically, Capital Region, Upper Hudson Valley, they're neighboring populations, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I lived in New York City for 10 years and really took the kind of infinite pool of people for granted, because not only are there, you know, 10 million people that are living there at any given time, but the people that live there are cycling through constantly. Mm-hmm. So any kind of niche activity can get dedicated enough following to become mm-hmm. a thing. And that's just really not the case up here. And there are just fewer people around, which is so beautiful, because I think I've been able to form really deep relationships with people in our area more quickly, it feels like, because there's kind of less competition for spaces and attention. Mm-hmm. But when you want to do something, it takes a lot more effort to kind of get the necessary crowd out. And yeah, that's like always the conversation with other people who are organizing shows or playing music out here, is just like, where's the audience? How do you get that satisfying feeling of community?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, and on that note, like, you're someone who's on both sides of this thing as a musician and someone who's like put on events. You were doing the programming at Basilica in Hudson for a while. They're no longer doing programming, which is a shame. But like, how do you navigate, like, what motivated you to like put on events and get into that side of it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came naturally. I really had to, I think a lot of us did, but during the highest heights of COVID and social isolation, I really had to reckon with what a show was and why I had been drawn to doing it for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, ever since I first figured out how to play a guitar and sing at the same time, I'd been trying to like put shows on in one way or another since I was like 13. Mm-hmm. And suddenly when we were no longer able to do that in the same way, I really had to investigate what it was. And I just I took it for granted, really. And I think a lot of us felt that way in that long pause. And it was like, I realized it was the thing that was organizing my social life. I met my wife through a music collaborator. I kind of organized my time and my energy around being able to go to and play shows. And when the opportunities started coming back for people to gather in venues indoors again, I just felt like I really wanted to be involved. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, kind of miraculously, No Fun in Troy opened right as that was all kind of coming to pass again. And I lived like 5 blocks away and could walk there, and they mm-hmm. needed people to work. So I joined that team for a while, and it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to kind of keep on in that world. And for a time, I was doing freelance sound at various places all around the Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. I was like at PS21. I did freelance stuff at Basilica before they hired me on full time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just took the opportunities and ran with it too.
Do you have any ambition to keep doing that, or like where are you at on that right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm open to things. I don't want to find myself forcing events to happen that the community isn't kind of
wanting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm feeling selective on that. I want to make sure that if I start making those efforts again to curate and organize and execute things, I want to make sure that it's not like a struggle for mm-hmm. attendance and for meeting budgets and stuff like that. I just want to make sure that, yeah, it's something that everybody wants. Mm-hmm. So I'm very open to things. I'm currently doing so many different roles, and I'm about to play, I don't know, I have like 9 or 10 shows this month, and then I'm going to be doing some touring this summer as well. So I'm a little more interested in putting on my own stuff at the mm-hmm, moment. Mm-hmm. But also, I just feel like, you know, while we were sound checking the mics, we were talking about the party we threw at our house yesterday, and like that feels like equally important work.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Putting energy into, yeah, cultivating gatherings for a smaller, more private community is equally important, if not more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think a house show, for example, with like 20 people is as important as, you know, some giant show with 1,000 people in terms of, you know, creating a place where people want to live, getting like creative satisfaction, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I'm gonna play a track from Youth Pastoral, one of which is actually the first track, which cool. is a nice way to set off that record. It's really a great song. If you've been listening to this, I'm Michael Mari. This is the Chosen Family segment. I've been talking with Ben Saraton, and this is from his newly reissued album, Youth Pastoral. It's called One Of.
Filled to the brim with something fine, one spark in I'll explode. Reach out.